Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos Daf Kuf Tes. We begin on the very last line of Kuf Ches Amud Beis with the Mishnah, continuing along in a series of Mishnayos that have Admon disagreeing with the Chachamim on certain aspects of Halacha. So the Mishnah begins: Haposek Mos Lechosno. The man, in inducing a potential son-in-law to go and marry his daughter, promises him a very big dowry. He's saying, I will give you a certain amount of money if you marry my daughter. So Aposik Mosul Chosno, he designates a certain amount of money that he will give to his future son-in-law if he marries his daughter. And then, after they get married, Uposhat Lo Esaregel. So Rashi explains, in Dibra Mas Uposhat Lo Esaregel, Loshun Bizoyenu, this is a disparaging type of a statement, where he basically says to this son-in-law, Tol Tit Sh'al Gabe Ragla, you can remove the dirt from my foot. In other words, you ain't getting the money. The Rundberg over here has a slightly different girsa. He says, Anishamati tola osi beregel aleitz. He's basically saying, you can hang me up from a tree from my foot because I unfortunately ain li ma'alitin. I don't have any money to pay you. So in other words, this was a false promise. He was told his son-in-law that you're going to get this big dowry, but in fact, he's getting nothing. So we have over here a father-in-law that promised the son-in-law a huge amount of money to marry his daughter, and then after they get married, he says there's nothing there. So we turn to Kuftes Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah tells us, Teishev Ashetal bin Rosha. The Tanakhama says that this unfortunate woman is now going to be in a lot of trouble. The wife over here, the husband doesn't have to do anything to her, so Teishev, she will just sit there, Ashetal bin Rosha, until her hair turns white, literally. We're dealing here that they only had the Erisin, they only had the first stage of marriage, so she's a fully married woman in terms of she can't marry somebody else, but she has none of the benefits of being a Nesua, a fully married wife, and therefore she's going to sit there in this situation because her father had promised this huge dowry and now he's not coming through with it. So the husband says, okay, I'm walking away, but I'm not giving you a get. And the Tanakhama says that that's unfortunately going to be her lot in life, that she'll sit there as an aguna, so to say, just having the first stage of marriage and not the second stage of marriage. Now, if he wants to, of course, he can give her a divorce. But if he wants to show the father-in-law that, listen, you made a deal over here and you're not carrying through with it, so I'm not going to go and help your daughter out. So the Tanakhama says he has the right to do so. Now, normally you're not allowed to do something like this. In this situation, he should go on to the second stage of the marriage, Nisuin, after a 12-month period of time. In fact, he normally would become obligated to go and marry her. But here, the son-in-law is allowed to say that as soon as you give me the dowry, I'll be more than happy to marry you. You made a promise, and when you fulfill your aspect of the promise, then I'll fulfill my aspect of the promise. And the Chachamim are going to say, in this situation, according to the Tanakhama, he has the right to do so. Admon disagrees. Admon Omer, Yecholahi Shetomer, Ilu ani pasakti liatzmi eshev ashetal bin Rosh. He says that would be great that the woman would say, if I was the one that promised this to you, I didn't promise you anything. It was my father. So if I was the one that promised you something and I'm not coming through with it, so then you have a right to say, if you give me the money, then I'll go and fulfill the second stage of marriage. I'll marry you and make you into an Isua. But I wasn't the one that did this. The woman says, Ilu ani pasakti liatzmi. If I was the one that had done, yeah. I understand, I can understand you're saying that you're not going to go through with the rest of the marriage and I'll sit here until my hair turns white. In other words, I'll be an old lady until I fulfill my aspect of the marriage. But I didn't do that. It wasn't me, it was my father. What am I supposed to do? He said he was going to do this. I assumed as well he was going to do this. Why are you holding me accountable? What can I do about this? I don't have any money. Either, therefore, Okinos, I give you full permission to go marry me. I'll still marry you. I'll be a full-fledged wife with you. However, if that's not what you want, Opator, so give me a get and let me go on with my life and you go on with your life. And Omer Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel says, Roani is diri Admon. Rabbi Gamliel says, yeah, Admon makes a lot of sense. I think most of us would agree. Admon makes a lot of sense. The poor woman, she really didn't do anything over here. No, her father wasn't right. Her father did something wrong. But that's not a reason why she should sit and become a gray-haired old lady sitting in this aguna type of a situation. So Rabbi Gamliel agrees with Admon. As we'll see in the Gemara, wherever Rabbi Gamliel agrees with Admon, so then we paskin like Admon. That's what the Gemara is going to tell us. Mar starts off and tells us a different version, Masnisin Deloki Aitana. Our Mishnah is not consistent with the following Tana, which we'll see is Rav Yossi by Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the following. He has a slightly different understanding of our Mishnah, the Tanya. He holds on Rav Yossi by Yehuda, Lo Nechluku Admon Chachomim Al Posik Mos Lachosno, that there is no machlokis between Admon and the Chachomim where the father was the one that was posing the money, because after all, Admon made a tremendous amount of good sense in that situation to say, what did the poor girl do? Why should she be held accountable for her father's lying, her father making a promise and not fulfilling it? In that situation, lo nekliku Admon v'chacham ala posig mosul chos no poshul lo esbrad gil, shiachol lehit shetomar, abu posuk alay, man yichol lasos. In that situation, even the Chacham and the Tanakam would agree with Admon's understanding that we had in the Mishnah, that what's the poor girl supposed to do? Her father was a shtunk, her father was the one that had promised something and now is not fulfilling it, so why should she be held responsible for her father? Either Kinoz, Op, Tor. So even the Chachamim agree with that. Knew them. What is there a machlokas between the Tanakam and the Chachamim and Admon? Aman Nechliku, they're arguing about Al Shepos Kohi Al Atzma, in a situation where, not her father, but she said to this man, listen, if you marry me, I'll give you $100,000. So she promised him a huge dowry. He does the first stage of marriage, and she says, sorry, buddy, I fooled you. I'm not giving you any money. I don't have any money. In that situation, here, the Tanakhama, the Chachamim say, Teshiva Shetal Ben Rosha. Here, she's fully accountable for her actions. And therefore, if she doesn't come up with the money, and the husband doesn't want to marry her, doesn't want to give her a divorce, it's the husband's right. And she'll sit there in this aguna-like state as a Arison marriage and not a Nisuan marriage because it was her own fault. She said to him, I'll give you $100,000 if you marry me, and now she's thinking out on what she said, so therefore he has the right to do nothing. However, Admon Omer, even in this situation, Yecholi Shetoma, she could say, listen, Kisura Nish Abinosin Alai. She said, listen, my father's a rich man, and I thought that he would go and pay this $100,000, and I made a mistake. Vachshov She'ein Abinosin Alai. Father says, no, he doesn't like you, and he doesn't want to give the $100,000. Well, he doesn't have the $100,000. I thought that he said that he would have it. So, Mani Yecholasso, so why are you holding me accountable? I didn't do this maliciously. Admon says that she did this in the hopes that her father would help pay this dowry. And now that the father's not, so she tells the guy, listen, Okinos, either if you still want to marry me, I'll marry you without the $100,000, Opatar, or at least give me a get, and let's go on with our lives. And on this, on the Rabbi Gamliel, Ro'ani Esderi Admon. Rabbi Gamliel says, even here, I agree with Admon. Admon is making good sense over here. The woman shouldn't be held fully accountable for actions. She had a svara to say that she was hoping that the father would pay for this, and now that the father's not, so either divorce me, or if you wish, marry me, and we'll live happily ever after. Tana, we learned in the following Braisa, Bamedvar Mamurim, under what circumstances does the Chachamim's idea of Teshiv Ashital Ben Rosha apply? That's only Gedola. That's if the girl is a Gedola when she said this statement, because the words of a Gedola carry a certain level of weight and understanding. However, Avo B'Ktana Kofit. But if she was a Ktana, so then her words have no meaning whatsoever, and therefore, if this man married her, he should then either continue and go to the full second stage of marriage, or he should give her a divorce. But don't hold this ketana accountable, because after all, the ketana has no strength to her words. But it said over here, Avo B'Ktana Kofin. So who's the Kofin referring to? Kofin Laman. Ilema La'av, if you're going to force the father to go and pay over here, that's what you're saying Kofin means, that you force the father to pay $100,000 that the girl had promised. So if Chumi Boile, it doesn't make any sense. We could understand that the Gedola had said it, as Rashi points out. If the Gedola says it, so then those words have some status to them. So in the Dibur Maskel Ifchum Miboyle, in Bas Lachofes Ha'av, Ifchum Mestavi makes the Mestavi Tvei. It makes more sense to say, Lefisha Gedola, Tanoa, Tanoi. If the Gedola said, listen, I'm going to give you $100,000, that carries some weight. But if the Ketana says it, so that carries no weight. So it doesn't make any sense to say over here, Biktana Kofin, if she's a young girl and she had said this, then we force the father to. So obviously it can't be talking about forcing the father. Elo Amar Rabba, you know what it's talking about? Kofin Labal Litenget. In that situation, even the Chachamim say that we would force the husband to either give a get, if he wishes to marry her, go to the second stage of marriage, but otherwise give her a get, because she was a ketana and you can't hold her accountable for her words. How do we paskin? Amar Rav Yitzchok ben Elazar, Mishmei Dechizkiah, Rav Yitzchok ben Elazar says the name of Yechizkiah, Kalmakom Shamar Rav Gamliel, Ron Yisdiri Admon, Halachi Kimoso. In the 3/4 places that we had, the 2 previous Mishnahis over here, our Mishnah, as well as this Braisa, in all of those situations where we have Rav Gamliel saying, Ron Yisdiri Admon, so Rav Yitzchok ben Elazar says in Yechizkio, Halachi Kimoso, we follow Admon. We paskin like Admon. Now, Tosus points out already that there's a steer over here, because if you follow Admon in the Mishnah, then you can't follow Admon in the Braisa that we brought down, because the two are not talking about the same dinim. In the Mishnah, it implies that even Admon would say that if the woman herself was the one that promised the money, he would also agree, Teshiv Ashital Ben Rosha. And the Braisa,
That's not true. So obviously, Tosus points out, when we say that the halacha is like Admon, wherever Amul says so, it means according to that Shita. So if you pass like the Mishnah, so then the halacha is like Admon. If you pass like the Brisa, the halacha is like Admon. That's how you have to understand this. Halacha kamoso. Amalei Rav Rav Nachman, afil b'Brisa. So Rava says Rav Nachman, is this statement that Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar said in the name of Chizkiya that we paskin like Admon true not only for the three Mishnais that we have, but even in this Brisa? So Rav Nachman says, yes, Amalei. Mi kamrinam b'mishnah, others of the years, so b'mishnah seinu. Did he say that this is true only in the Mishnah or in our Mishnah? B'chol makom, sham Rav Gamliel, kamrinam, whatever Rav Gamliel says, ro ani is there Admon. So Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar said in the name of Chizkiya, we paskin like Admon. Mar says, Amar Reb Zeira, Amar Rabba Bar B'Yirmiya. Reb Zeira said in the name of Rabba Bar Yirmiya, Shnei Dvar Mishamar Chanan, Halacha Kiyotibo. The two earlier Mishnais that we had in the Perek, where we had statements from Chanan, so we said Halacha is Kiyotibo. Kiyotibo is an expression, Rashi tells us, that it means, like Rav Yochanan and Zakkai, who had said, I agree with Chanan, and we're going to say Kiyotibo, by Admon, it means Rabban Gamliel. So, the statement over here of Rav Zeira in the name of Rabba Bar Yirmiya is that wherever we said that Rav Yochanan Zakkai agreed with Chanan, Halacha Kayotzi Bo, so then we pass like that. And then he made an enigmatic statement. He said, Shiva Tvarim Shama Admon, the seven things that Admon said, the Mishnais that we had so far in the upcoming Mishnais, a total of seven statements that Admon made, Ein Halacha Kayotzi Bo. The Halacha is not like the one who said like him. In other words, the halacha is not like Rabban Gamliel. So this is a very enigmatic statement. We just said a moment ago that wherever Rabban Gamliel says the halacha is like Admon, in the first three Mishnayis, plus the Brisa, so then we paskin like that. So how do you understand this statement that Rav Zeira made in the name of Rabba Bar Yirmiya? My comrade, what exactly did he say? So we'll give two possibilities, first which we'll reject, and then we'll come to the final understanding. If this is what we're suggesting, that Rav Zeira said in the name of Rabba Bar Yirmiya, that Shnei Dvarim Shomer Chanan Halacha Kamosu V'Yotzibo, the two statements that we had in the Mishnayis from Chanan, where we said Rav Yochanan Zakkai holds like him, so that we pass like. But V'Shiva Dvarim Shomer Admon, but the seven statements that Admon made, Ein Halacha Kamosu V'Lo K'Yotzibo, the Halacha isn't like Admon, and it's not like Rabban Gamliel. Now this is a problem, because the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar, Mishmei D'Chizkiya, we just brought down a minute ago, that Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar said in Chizkiya, that Kol Mokum Shama Rabban Gamliel, Rani is Nivri Admon, Halacha Kamosu. We said that we'd paskin like him. So how can you tell me that we don't? So the Gemara says, you're right, that's the wrong understanding. Let's re-understand the statement of Rav Zeira, Amar Rabba Bar Yirmiya, in the following way. That never changes. The two statements, the two Mishnais that we had by Chanan, so we paskin like Rav Yochanan Zakkai, who says that I understand Chanan, his opinion makes a lot of sense, and we follow that. So that's simple. That, we all agree, is the way to learn this. Then the second statement, the enigmatic statement, was Shiva Dvarim Shomer Admon, Ein Halacha Kiyotzi Bo. That seven things which we said, the Halacha is not like the one that paskins like Admon, like Rav Gamliel. Hakimoso halacha bekulo, implying that yes, we don't follow Rabban Gamliel, who only paskins like Admon in the first three, but we in fact paskin like Admon in all seven of his statements. But says that's not right though. Bamar Yitzchak ben Elazar Mishmei D'Chizkiya, who we just brought down again a minute ago, several times now. The Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar said the name of Chizkiya, the Kol Mokum Shama Rabban Gamliel, Rani is the Rei Admon halacha kimoso, which implies only in those situations, in those 3/4, the three Mishnayos plus the Brisa. Omar, where he said, Halacha Kimoso, Ron Yisri Admon. So then, yes, in that situation, we paskin like Admon. But the implication of that is, lo, Omar, if Rabban Gamliel did not say Ron Yisri Admon, then lo, Halacha is not Kimoso. So again, this second understanding of what Rav Zeira said in the name of Rabba Bar Yirmiya is incorrect. And now we come to the final correct understanding, Halacha Kamar. This is what Rav Zeira said in the name of Rabba Bar Yirmiya. Shnei Dvarim Shomer Chanan Halacha Kimoso Chiyosbo. That's again unchanged. In all the different versions we've had, the two Mishnais that dealt with the statement of Chanan, where Rav Yochanan Zakkai said, I think that's the right understanding, so Halacha Kimoso Chiyosbo. We pass away Chanan and Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Very good. And then, in regards to the Shiva Dvarim Shomer Admon, in regards to the seven Mishnayos that we have over here with Admon making a statement, so some we paskin like Admon and some we don't. Yes, man, shalocha kamoso, uchayotzibo. There are those situations, the first three Mishnayos plus the Brisa that we just had now, in those situations, the halacha is like Admon, uchayotzibo, and the one who supported him said, ro ani, dvarav, like Rabban Gamliel said. However, in the other four situations, v'yesh mehen, but in the next four mishnayos, we're not going to follow that. V'yesh mehen she'ein halacha kimo so elo kayotzi bo. In the next one, mishnayos, halacha is not like him, kimo so, not like Admon, elo kayotzi bo. It's like Rabbi Gamliel, who in those four mishnayos does not paskin like Admon. In other words, he paskins like the Baal Plukta of Admon, like the Chachamim. And in that way, b'chomokum shomer of Gamliel, Roni is the Admon, halacha kimo so. So now we understand the statement. Wherever Rav Gamliel says, I see what Admon said, that's right. Ro'ani is the Re'admon, it seems to be correct. The first three Mishnayis plus the Raisa. So yes, then we follow the opinion of Admon. But in the next four, Enoch, where we don't have Rav Gamliel saying, I see the words of Admon, in other words, he disagrees with Admon, then lo, we don't paskin like Admon, we paskin, in other words, in all seven Mishnayis like Rav Gamliel. The first three he agrees with Admon, and the next four he agrees with the Baal Plukta of Admon. Now we go to that fourth Mishnah. If a man says, hey, that field that you're in is really my field. As Rashi says in Dibur Maaseh Orei El Soder, Ruvain Ma'ar El Soder should be at Shimon. Ruvain states that the field that Shimon has in his hands, which Levi had sold to Shimon, Vomer, Levi Shemar Cholach Gozlo Mimeni. Levi had no right to sell you that field, Shimon. Levi stole that field from me. So Reuven's tining to Shimon, who has the field in his possession. Shimon says, I bought it from Levi. And Reuven says, Levi never owned it. Levi stole it from me. So this is called Ha'orer Al Hasoder. Reuven is coming to court and stating that Shimon doesn't own that field. He purchased it from Levi, but Levi never owned it. So he has a false claim to the field, and the field is mine. And obviously, Reuven can prove that the field is his. It was his, at least for certain, at one point in time. However, what makes this case unusual, if this was a straightforward case of Reuven having proof that the field was his, and Shimon having no proof that it belonged once to Levi, then of course Reuven would win and the field would go back to Reuven, and no, Shimon would go and bring a court case against Levi if he was still around and get his money back from Levi. But here there's a twist. Here, v'hu chosum olel be'ed, on the document that Levi gave to Shimon when he sold in the field, here, for $100,000, I'm selling you this field, so who are the witnesses on that document? Reuven is one of the witnesses. V'hu chosum olel be'ed. Reuven himself is one of the witnesses on the document. So here, Admon Omer, Hasheni Nochli, Marishon Koshemenu. You know why? Reuven signed on the document. He says, Levi's a strong-armed guy. Levi's a tough guy. So as Rashi says, Dibur Maaseh Admon Omer, Yochalu Sheomer, he's allowed to say, why did I sign on that document? Because Mashalo Irarti, B'shor Shalakakti, Levi, why didn't I complain at that point and say, hey, Levi, you don't own the field. That's my field. Because you know what? Why did I sign on it? Because Lefisha Levi Adam Chazok V'Kosha. Because Levi is a strong-armed guy. He's a tough guy. I wouldn't be able to get my field back from Levi. Levi grabbed it from me. Levi's powerful. He has connections. He's going to physically hurt me. He's going to cause me anguish. So I said, listen, I'll be more than happy to get the field away from Levi and get it to Shimon. Oh, Shimon paid good money for it. Shimon have to worry about getting it back from Levi. Because the kosher will see him. I can't get it back from Levi, but you, Shimon, you're a pushover. It's much better for me that you have the field, because from you I'll be able to get it back. Because I am legitimately able to get the field back from you, and it's your problem. You get your money back from Levi. But that's why I signed on it. That's what Admon says. It's easy for me to get the field back from you. You're called the Sheni over here. And the Rishon Levi, it's more difficult for me to get it back from him. So your problem, not my problem. I got my field back now. I'll get my field back in the Beis Din. And you'll have to get your money back in the Beis Din from Levi. Good luck. Chacham disagreed. Chacham Amrim, no. Ibed Eschuso. When you signed on that document, Reuven, so then you're basically stating that you don't own that field. By your signing on that document, you're attesting that Levi really owns that field, and you can't come back afterwards and claim that that field was yours and Levi stole it from you. Asor simili acher. Similarly, if you would have that this field is now being sold, and the field that Reuven is claiming is his own is being sold, and they're stating on this when they sell the field that on one side of the field the marker is the side of the field that Shimon owns. So the field that's next to Shimon is being sold, and Reuven signs on this document of a totally non-contested field, but it uses the gvul, the boundary of Shimon's field, to say this field that is being now sold on the north side, it belongs to Yisachar on the south side, one Zvulun, and then Don on the other side, and then on this side it's Shimon's field that borders it. Now, Reuven is the one that signs this document. Now, there's no possible reason that you would say that he would go and sign this document over here. So why would he in fact do so? So therefore, in this situation, it must be that he really is holding that field belongs now to Shimon, and therefore, Ebed Ezuchuso. So even Admon would say in this situation, since there's no possible purpose that Reuven should sign on this and say that this is Shimon's field, unless it really is Shimon's field. And then when he comes along later and says, no, Shimon bought the field from Levi, and Levi stole it from me, he's not believed. Ebed Ezuchuso. We start the Gemara Rabbi Abaye. Abaye says, Lo Shanu Elo Eid. In this situation, where he signed on it as an aid, so then we can have the machlokas between Admon and the Chachamim. However, if he signed on it Avol Dayan, so then Lo Ibeid Ez Zechuso. In this situation, the rights of Reuven would still be protected, even according to the Chachamim, because we don't expect the Dayan to do anything other than authorize the signatures on the shtar. An aid has to see what he's signing to and attesting to it, whereas a Dayan, when they're authenticating the shtar, they're just authenticating the signatures. They're not authenticating what's in the shtar. So therefore, Avol Dayan Lo Ibeid Zechuso. If Reuven was a Dayan in this case, he would lose his rights to the field, even according to Chachamim. Why is that? Because the Tani Ruchia, we learned in the Braisa, the Ruchia said, Ein Eidim Chos Mel Ashtar Elam Ken Kru. The Eidim aren't allowed to sign on the shtar unless they in fact have read what they're signing to and they're saying, yes, this is what we're signing to. We turn to Kuv Tes on the base. However, Avol HaDayanim, the judge who's authenticating the signatures, Chosman, they sign over here, Afa Bishul Kro. They don't have to read the document. They only have to read the signatures. They have to authenticate the signatures. As Rashi says, the top Rashi, Bikiyum, Afa Bishul Kro, even though the judges didn't read the document, Shari Einon Me'idin Elo Shishtar Zebolof Nenu, because all they're testifying, the judges, when they authenticate this, is all they're stating is that this shtar came in front of us for Eidim Ekiru Shi Chasimosu. And the Eidim said, yes, that's my signature. So all we did was authenticate the two Eidim, Levi and Yehuda, said that these are our signatures. But we don't know that what's in the document is correct or not. So therefore, they don't even read that. And therefore, if Reuven, in our case, was the one who was the judge, so he wouldn't be Ebed Ezechuso, even according to Chachamim. And if he was an aid, then he would be Ebed Ezechuso, according to the Chachamim. Then we said at the end of the Mishnah, Asor Simon Liacher, if Reuven had signed on a document that sold the adjacent field, and he said, yes, the boundaries of this field include Shimon's border, so then Ebed is a Chuso. Omer Abaye says about this, Lo Shana, we only said in this situation that that's the case, Elo Liacher, that's if he sold this to another person. However, Avol Liatzmo, Lo Ebed is a Chuso, but if he's doing it for himself, Reuven is signing on this document saying these are the borders of the field that he's buying. Reuven is buying the adjacent field, and he writes down that one of the borders is the border that Shimon is claiming. He doesn't lose his zechusim, Abaye says. Avol Yatzro lo ibed zechusa. Why not? Because the Omar, he can say, if I didn't sign on this, I never would have gotten that field. I wanted that field badly. But if I didn't agree that that boundary was Shimon's, they never would have sold me the field. Lo haba masbin lo niali. They never would have sold it to me. So I wanted to buy that field, and I worry about the consequences of it saying Shimon's border at a later point in time. Because what should I do? Mayis chlamema. What should you tell me? Iboy le lamim samodah. I should have told people before I sign on this, listen, I want you to know that that field really isn't Shimon's field. The boundary that says Shimon's boundary, that's not really true. So I should give a modah. I should tell people beforehand that I'm only signing this, so to say, under duress, and it doesn't really belong to Shimon. So Iboy le lamim samodah. You want me to go give a modah? No, that wouldn't work, because chavruch Chavru Islay, because those two people that I would tell the Modar to, they have friends. And those friends with Chavra, the Chavruch Chavru Islay. So the friends of those friends have friends. And before you know it, they would get back to the person selling the field that I'm being Ma'ara over here, and therefore they're not going to sell me the field. So therefore I didn't have any choice. So that's what Abaye explains, that if Reuven himself was the one buying that field and he's signing on it that the border is Shimon's, he doesn't lose his Zechusim. Next, the Gemara says, "How the asor simon liacher, a certain person, again, let's say Reuven, is going to complain and say that this field doesn't really belong to Shimon. You signed on it, Reuven, to state when the adjacent field was bought, you were one of the witnesses that said that this field is bordered on one side by Shimon. So we said everybody agrees in that situation, Ebed is a chuso, unless we brought down as Abaye had said, he bordered himself. So in this situation, the Hawa also similarly acher, so Irer, he made this complaint to Beis Din that this should be his field. However, Vishachavini died. But Okim Apotropa, they appointed a court-appointed guardian, an apotropos, to go and take care of the estate and the claims of the estate for the orphans, because they were not gedolim, so they had an apotropos. So also apotropos, the coming to Abaye. So this apotropos comes to Abaye, and Abaye says, listen, I'm sorry, but in this situation, Ebed is zechuso. The father, Nebuch, who passed away, lost his zechuyos by signing on to the shtar for the other person that said that this border was Shimon's. But the apotropos is a very big Talmud Chacham. So when Abaye tells him, Amalei, aso simon liyacher, Ebed is zechuso, when he tells him on Mishnah, it said that when Reuven signed, when the field is being sold, the adjacent field is being sold to a third party, and Reuven signed on it, so then Ebed is a chuso. So I'm very sorry, even though you're here for the orphans, I feel bad for them, but you lose the din. But the apotropos, as I said, was a very big Talmud Chacham. Amar, he says to Abaye, but wait a second. E havi avun diyas mekayim. If the father had been present, wouldn't he be able to tie into the following? Have a toin v'omar, tell him, echod asisi l'cha. You know what he could have said? He said, you know why I signed on that document? Because not that the whole field belonged to Shimon. One little furrow belonged to Shimon. One telem. The field's 100 acres. And that 1% of a little 1 acre ridge over there, the furrow, that's the border, that was in fact I gave to Shimon. So therefore, I wrote down that the border belongs to Shimon. But the rest of the field belongs to me. So this apotropos said, if the father had made this taina, wouldn't he be believed? Because after all, he is the one that claims that this field belonged to Shimon. That's the only independent knowledge that we have that the field belongs to Shimon. Shimon doesn't have any claim. He doesn't have any proof that Levi ever owned this field. Reuven is tining that he owned the field. So therefore, the only way that Shimon has any claim to this is because Reuven had signed on the document. So Reuven is what Rashi says is the Pesha Osar, Pesha Hiter. So Reuven is saying, yes, this border was Shimon, but I'm qualifying it and saying that only the furrow, one little furrow, this 100-acre field, that belongs to Shimon, but the other 99.9% of the field belongs to me. So this apotropos said to Abaye, what would have happened if the father had made that claim? Pesha asa pesha hiter, wouldn't he be believed? So therefore, Abaye says, Taki, you're right, Amalei. Shaka Karmis, you're 100% right, because the Amr of Yochanan, you're saying the halacha that Rav Yochanan had said, Imtan v'amr telemechot asisa l'cha neman. If in this type of a situation the father had made the claim that yes, that furrow is yours, but the rest of the field is still mine, so it's a pesha asa pesha hitir, and the father would win. So therefore, if the father would win, so the apotropos can go make that taina on behalf of the orphans, and the orphans will win in that situation. Ah, very, very smart apotropos. No, Abaye then told him, okay, so now you win the case, you get the 99.9% of the field, but Zil Havlei Mias Telemechot, but you admitted that the Telemechot belongs to him, right? That would be the taina that the father made, that it was only one Telem that he had sold him, so at least give him that Telem. No, now it wouldn't be such a big deal if that Telem was worth nothing, but Hava Allah Richba the Dikle, it had on it, as Rashi says, Shuras Dekolim Murkavim Zeh Al Gav Zeh, it had a very expensive row of palm trees on it, Dikle. And that was now worth a decent amount of money. So the apotropos didn't want to have the orphans lose out on, even though it's only a 1% of the field, a very small percentage of the field, it's still a significant amount of money. So Amalei, the apotropos, big Talmud Chacham, he says to Abaye, "E havi avon the asmikayim." Wouldn't it be that if the father of these orphans were alive, have a toy, and he would have the right to make the following taina of Yomar? He would say, "Chazarti v'lakachti mimenu." You know what? I had originally sold that furrow to Shimon, but then I brought it back from him. Again, this is a pesha asa pesha hiter. Shimon has no independent proof that he owns the field. All he has is the proof that he bought it from Levi. But Levi never owned the field, according to Reuven. Reuven has proof that he was the Marikama. He was the real owner of the field. So if he were to come along now, Reuven, and say, yes, I had sold Shimon that telem, but then I bought it back, so then he would be believed. So therefore, the apotropos says, believe the orphans. I'm making the taina on behalf of the orphans for what their father would have said, such a taina. And Abaye says, you taka right again. Amalei, shapir karmis, you said again, exactly like Rav Yochanan. The Amr Rav Yochanan, im ta'an v'amar chazarti u'lekachtiv mimenu, Neman, that if in fact the father would say, yes, that tell him I had sold to Shimon, that's why I signed on it, but then after the sale, I bought it back. I said, Shimon, what do you need this tell him over here? It's a single furrow in the middle of my two fields, so I'll buy it back from you. And he did. So therefore, the father would believe, so therefore the upper Trump said, you have to believe the orphans when I'm making the taina on their behalf. And Abai agrees. And Abai concludes with the following statement. Oh, my Abai says, if you're ever going to appoint an apotropis, appoint this guy to be your apotropis. Hi, man, the mokim apotropa. If you're going to appoint somebody to be an apotropis, no kim ki hi. You should appoint an apotropis, a big tamu chacham, like this apotropis was, the yoda lafuche bezuchusa, the yasme, that he would be able to go and fight for the rights of the orphans in the best possible way. So therefore, he was able to go and get this estate to give that property back for the orphans when, on the surface, it looked like he was going against the Mishnah and the orphans would lose the property. Next Mishnah. This is the fifth of the seven statements of Admon. Mishalach l'medina sayam. Person goes off on a business trip, he's overseas, the of the deros today, he comes back, and the field that he had owned, so he doesn't know how to get to that field. The field is surrounded on all the sides by other fields. We'll see the circumstances in a moment. And he doesn't have his path to get to his field. So what's he supposed to do? Of the derech sadeo. And all the four owners of the fields around him say, hey, it wasn't through my field, it wasn't through my field. So Admon Omer, Admon says, he definitely had a path there. That's not in dispute. Everybody agrees that he once had a path over there. But it's lost what the path was. So Admon says, Yelech lo biktzara, you give him the shortest possible path. Mimonashach, either he had the shortest possible path or he had a longer path. If he had a longer path, so he gets more territory from them. But since Tofasta Mubilo, Tofasta, he can't say, I had a bigger path. So you give him the smallest possible path that could get to his field, and he's entitled to get that from the surrounding owners of the fields around his field. But the Chum say, tough luck, Charlie. The Chum omrim, no. He's going to have to pay through the teeth because they know he's in a bind. He can't get to his field. So they can even charge him 100 mana, a huge amount of money, for a path if they're not nice. Or he can get a helicopter. Or he can go fly in the air. They didn't have helicopters in those days. So there's no way he can get to his field. Sorry, buddy. You should have been more careful not to lose your path. And the Chum say, listen, they each can make a taina, as we'll see in the Gemara, that the field that had the path wasn't my field. We'll see, it's four different owners. And each of them can say over here that this wasn't the path wasn't in my field. It was in the other guy's field, so get it from him. Mark starts and says, my time with the Rabban. What's the reasoning over here, the Rabban, that say, you kind of, oh, Derek Be'amon or Yifrach Be'aver? Because, after all, Shaper Kamar Admon, one can say that Admon is right. He definitely did have the path, so why not give him the shortest path? So again, as I already alluded to, we give the explanation. I'm reviewing the Marav. Kigon Shekifua Arba Bnei Adam Me'abar Ruchusel. We're dealing over here with four separate owners of four different fields, and in that situation, each of them can say, "Listen, this field didn't have the path, so go get it from one of the other three guys. The field that I have isn't at the path. And Moshe Mechaber, Olav Arayah, prove to me that my field had the path, and you'll get it. So even though mine is the shortest one, who said you had the shortest one? You had a longer one. You had it through the side B, side C, side D. So don't come to me, even though I have the shortest path." So what says, that Taka is a very good answer. See, Hachi, my time of the Admon. So what's Admon's taina that he says that he gets entitled to get the shortest path? So Rav explains as follows. Amar Rav, Bi'arba, the Asumi Koach Arba. If the new owners of these four surrounding fields around the field in question that had the path lost to it, so if they are four separate owners and they each purchased it from a different original owner, so each of them can claim, I don't know if the field had, my field had the path, and I didn't purchase it from one person, we all purchased it from four separate people. The Arba, the Asumi Koachad, or even if all four of them purchased it from one original owner, nevertheless, Kuli Amalo Pligi, the Motsi Matkhile, even Admon would agree in that situation that he's not entitled to any specific path, because each of them can say, the path, prove to me that the path was in my field and I'll give it to you. But I definitely didn't have the path in my field, so therefore you can't say that I had the path in my field and I'm obligated to give it to you. So where's the machlokas in the mission between Admon and the Chachamin? So keep Pligi, where they're arguing about Bechad. Now there's one owner of the four fields around him, and that person purchased it from four separate individuals. So now we have the case that there's one owner of the four fields that surround the field that lost its path, but in that situation, we can have a machlokas between Admon and the Chachamim. What does Admon hold? Admon sabar mekomakum darcho isli gabach. Admon can say to the guy, listen, you definitely have the path. So give me the shortest path and we'll be fine. Because you definitely own the path. There's no dispute. Everybody agrees that there once was a path over there. So Admon says, listen, there definitely was a path in one of the four fields that you own. You own all four fields. So therefore, give me the shortest one and we'll be happy. Mekomakum darcho isli gabach. You definitely have my path. That's why Admon says, you have to give me the shortest path. Rabbanan Safri, no. The Rabbanan say the following. Ishas, if you're silent, shasakt. So then, if you stay silent, so then I will go and give you a field. Rashi understands, I'll let you buy a field at a reasonable price. Others say, no, then I'll charge you as much as I want. And if you don't like it, tough luck. But at least you'll get a path. And if you're silent and you don't continue to fight with me, so then there's a way out of this. As Rashi understands it, there's a nice way out of it. I'll sell you a path at a reasonable price. You won't get it for free, but I'll sell it to you at a reasonable price. Others say no. Even the Mishnah said, Me'amana, I'll sell it to you for whatever price I want. And if you want to buy it, fine. If you don't want to buy it and you keep on fighting with me, Vilo, if you want to continue to press this in court, you know what I'm going to do? If you're going to continue to fight with me, Mahadrona Shtoru Lemarayu, I'm going to sell my four fields back to the four individual people that I bought it from and see if you can get it from them. As we already pointed out, each of them can say, listen, we don't know the field was in, the path was in our field, so therefore we're not giving it to you and you'll never win against them. So if you're silent, shasakta, and you stay silent, so then we have a possibility to make a deal over here, like Rashi for a reasonable price, or like the other Rishonim for less than reasonable price, afilu me'amana. So, if you're silent, we could possibly make a deal. But if you continue fighting with me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to return the field to the original owners, and let's see you get your path then. So that's the machlokas Rava explains between Admon and the Chachamim. Following Maisa occurred. How old Yom Elohu? Diklo Libras. A man said to his Yorshim that I want you to give in the estate a certain palm tree to the daughter, right? The daughter doesn't inherit, but if it's before his death, and he says she'd have a certain palm tree, so then she's entitled to that. But he didn't state which palm tree she should get. And also Yasme, and Nebuchadnezzar passes away, and the Yisomim divide up the estate, Paluge Lenichse, Lo Yoavu Lo Dikla. And the children who inherited their father's estate didn't follow through and give the daughter a palm tree like their father had asked to. Now, they had divided up the estate already, so each one can theoretically claim the palm tree that you were entitled to was in the other part of the estate, because they had divided it up already. Also, Yasme, Pelugil Nisse, Lovelo Ditla. They divided it up without giving her palm tree. So, Sabar of Yosef, Rav Yosef wanted to say, this is our Mishnah, Lameimar, Hainu Mastisen. This is exactly our Mishnah. And the Chacham hold, not like Admon, the Chacham hold, listen, you have to either fly in a helicopter or pay us an exorbitant amount if you want to get the palm tree, because we already divided it up, and now prove to me that it's in my field. Abai says that's incorrect. Only Abai, Midami, says that's not the same as our Mishnah. Hasam kochad b'chad matzi matchile. There, each of them can go and push you up and say, who says the path was in my field? But here, they definitely in the estate was the palm tree that was supposed to be given to the daughter. So hacha diklo gabayuhu. The palm tree belonged to all four of them. You divided up the estate, so undivide it up. Go back to the original estate that was inherited, and then give her the palm tree, and then divide it up. My takan tayu, so what should you make a takan over here? Lesula dikla, give her any palm tree, the ledru of a liberation, and then go divide up the rest of the estate besides that palm tree. Similarly, how do you, there was a man that said to the Yarshim, to his sons, they're going to Yarshim him, I want you to give your sister, my daughter, Dikla Labras, give her a palm tree. Now, he then dies. Shochid, Vishavik Trey Palge de Dikla. Now, he had two partial halves of a palm tree. Mustami owned them in a shutfis with somebody else. As Rashi says, Dio Masa, Vishavik Trey Palge de Dikla, Shailo Vishutfis, Vishar de Kol, Harbe Hoylo, and he had many other palm trees that he totally owned. And the Solomon said, listen, we'd rather not have a palm tree in partnership with somebody else. So let's give her the half, two halves of the palm tree, and that makes up a full palm tree, and we fulfilled our father's request to give her a palm tree, but she'll have to deal with the two partners. By Yisomu, he notes in law, Osan Shnei Chatzoyim, so the Yisomu went and gave her the two halves of the palm tree that the father owned to make up a full palm tree, because they said, Sheish Tarok Bem Yosef, because you have to deal with a partner. We'd rather not deal with a partner. So that's what they did. Shavik Trey Palgei Tadikla, these two halves of the palm tree that owned Bishutvis, they gave to the daughter. So Yosef Rav Ashi v'kokashle. So this case was adjudicated by Rav Ashi, who came to him, and he had the following kasha. Me karu in shele tre pagi dikle dikla olo. Says this all hinges upon the fact when the father said, I'm giving her a palm tree, did he mean two half palm trees? Is that called a full palm tree? Or no, he meant to give her a full palm tree. So Amalei Rav Mordechai l'Rav Ashi. So Mordechai said to Rav Ashi, that's what the people say. Hachi amar avimi me'agrunya mishmei de Rabba. Avimi, who came from a city called Agrunya, said in the name of Rabba, Karin shele tre pagi dikle dikla, that yeah, in the vernacular usage, people do call that a full palm tree, even though it's two halves of a palm tree. The bottom line is that they'd ask somebody how many palm trees do you own. He'd add up his half palm trees and they would count as a full palm tree. So therefore, in the vernacular sense, people do say two half palm trees are a palm tree. Therefore, when the father had said to his sons who would inherit him, give my daughter, give your sister a palm tree, that would include giving her two half palm trees, the two half palm trees over the shutvis, and they would technically be allowed to do that. No, are they the nicest brothers? Probably not, but halacha l'maisa, that does fulfill what the father said, and therefore technically they're able to do so. On this note, we conclude today's share.